Everyone, this is the Mogul Bar Show. Like the intro said, I'm your host, Gabe. As always, with me, I have Katya Machenko. I hope I pronounced it properly. Ooh, sorry if I didn't. She is the CEO and founder of Scapio, and we're going to talk about how she's integrating the world of physical and digital in a new form of, you know, getting your hands on things. Katya, I just butchered it. I'm sorry. Please go ahead. Take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about Scapio.
Sure. So Scapio combines physical and digital play. You can play with physical objects and then your experience being enhanced with augmented reality. And for now, we only have two types of physical objects. So you can play with sand and you can play with wooden blocks, like natural real sand, like in a sandbox. And augmented reality is being created with projections, so you don't need any wearable devices and you don't need any touch screens. So it's another type of augmented reality that is here. And by augmented reality, I mean it's actually very interactive. Mm-hmm. So if you build a mountain with the sand, then the 3D camera reads it and understand that this is a mountain, and then projector colors it as a mountain.
Okay, so who is this sort of tailored for? Is this for children learning to sort of play? Is this for, you know, special needs adults? Like, what's the market for this?
So special kids for sure. When the product was developing, and my co-founder did most of the work, we had kids in mind, 3 to 9 years old. But actually now with this product, we discover new markets. And one of them is party rentals. So to sell it as an experience for companies that organize events and parties. And then it's not only for kids, it's for adults as well. And I found it very fascinating as an adult to play with it, because it's something that I've never seen before. And it's very engaging and it's very interactive. And when you first start playing with this product, you kind of like don't understand what's going on. And it has this like magical waha moment.
Let's talk about this magical waha moment, because before they get to this magical waha moment, you obviously have to convince them that, hey, try this, you know, whether it's through a party rental or whether it's something that you're designating or, you know, allocating for special needs children. First, you need people to want to use it. What has that experience been like for you? Because I know that you're a first-time founder.
So we had one experiment when we brought the prototype, which was not properly manufactured, which was made very DIY from, it looked actually very ugly, but the software was in place, and I brought it to a music festival and I would turn it on every night, and it was a huge success. So people would come every night, every hour throughout the night till the morning. You come there and you see 5, 6, 7 people just around the sandbox, just playing with it. There were fans who were coming every night just to play with it. So that was initial feedback that we got, that adults are also interested in the product. And we did a lot of user interviews with parents and with educators, and as well as with party planning companies, event planning companies. And actually with event planning companies, it was the most interest from them, because they don't have a similar product at their disposal. We have some competitors who build something similar, but they only target schools and kindergartens. Actually, this market already is quite crowded. But for party rentals, no one targets this market. So we actually got 3 clients that are ready to pay to us even before we properly built our first prototype. And they're all in party rental space.
Nice. So, you know, let's go back to this moment. Because at some point, you know, you and your co-founder, what was your moment that you said, I want to create this? And, you know, why did you go all in and say, I need to do this?
Yeah. So my moment was, just for a little bit of context, before starting Scapio, I was working as a data scientist in finance and mortgage industry. And I had a little burnout, and then I quit my job. I start traveling, and at some point I spent 2 hours at the Discovery Center, and I watched kids playing with interactive sandbox for 2 hours, and I was amazed how much happiness and joy these kids were experiencing. And I was thinking like, wow, maybe I can build something that would be as thrilling as bringing so much happiness into this world. And it felt amazing, this emotional feedback that I would get right away from just watching these kids playing with the product. Yeah, that was the moment. Definitely way more emotional feedback than at my previous job. And like mortgages are also very important and they bring a lot of happiness into people's life. It's just
different. It can be stressful. It's finance, so it's stressful. Anything with money is usually stressful to some degree. And there's a pure joy that's usually felt when you're seeing kids be happy. There's an infectious laughter that they have that it just sort of, if you don't feel it, something's wrong with you. No, but that's pretty good though. So then, you know, you and your co-founder, you decided to go in. Did you have to find your co-founder or he was already, or she was already all in on the idea? Like what was that moment that you were like, okay, we have a company?
Right. So actually it was my co-founder's idea to work on this and he was working on this for many years. So it was his passion project for many years. And as I was traveling, I was thinking I want to start a startup and I was going through ideation phase. I was researching different industries that I was interested about. And one of them was things related to machine learning and augmented reality is one of them because a big part of augmented reality is actually leveraging computer vision, which is a part of data science and machine learning and this whole area. So that was something that I was curious about. And so he reached out to me and I had this capacity. I started helping him with his idea, running some user experiments. And then, but I wasn't sold on his idea, but then I had this aha moment when I was at this Discovery Center watching kids. And that's when I decided I want to go all in.
That's excellent. So I know that he was happy about that. Did you have any sort of reservations? Because, you know, were you hesitant at all? Because you left the finance and mortgage industry where you were a data scientist. It's steady, reliable, depending how high up you are, can be lucrative. You know, and then you sort of leave that and now you're going into the unknown world of startups. What was that like?
Very scary. And there was like a lot of uncertainty. I think what really helped me is reading this book called Growth Mindset. I think it really shaped the right mindset that I shouldn't be afraid of failure. I shouldn't be afraid of what people think of me. I shouldn't be afraid of judgment. And I think it opened the world like, okay, every experience that I have in my life is actually a learning experience and I can learn from it. I think that helped me to kind of like get the right mindset because as I quit my corporate job, I don't think I was ready to launch a startup because I think you need to have a very like specific mindset to be a startup founder. So I spent a lot of time trying to figure out and tweak my existing mindset into this world of being a startup founder.
It's very different. It takes a certain, you have to have a certain conviction in the sense that you can't allow yourself to be swayed easily because you have to have, you know, your vision and then you have to have buy-in into your vision from whether it's your colleagues, coworkers, co-founders, your underlings, the people that are, you know, reporting to you or working for you in some capacity. So it definitely takes a lot of conviction so that you can, you know, keep your eye on the ball, so to speak, and move forward. Let's talk about, you know, you have a company now. It's not as easy as people think it is. You like you said, you had that first, you know, that first prototype that looked like a DIY kit that you took to the music festival. And then, you know, after that, you know, you had to redo the packaging, redo the build, if you will, to have a more polished prototype. What was that? Like, how did you go about vetting the manufacturers that were going to basically be your partners in this endeavor?
Yeah, so we're like 1 month away from having a properly built prototype of our product. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it right now, talking to many manufacturers, trying to get the quotes and submitting all the files and designs. And a lot of them, they all have different requirements. I honestly did not expect that manufacturing would be that hard, but it is very hard and it's very time consuming. And then sometimes they give us quotes and it's so much money and we cannot afford to have our product be manufactured with this cost. At this cost, it's hard and it's a lot of work, a lot of back and forth, a lot of communication, trying to find the right partners, trying to find some like good partnerships, you know. And also we're in New York and I wanted to be somewhere near New York, and near New York the prices are very high.
Yeah. So I mean, what would you tell anybody that wants to to get in, as wants to be a startup, you know, because there's different levels of startups. Your startup, while it is technology, it is also manufacturing a product because it's building an actual physical product, whereas some technology startups are software based and, you know, don't have any manufacturing costs up front. What would you tell people that are looking to get into the, you know, the startup world that maybe haven't really completely thought this through, you know, because Scapio is still a new company. It's a startup. You're learning things as you go, but you're still, you know, you're persevering, you're moving forward, and you have a plan. And it's just, it's going to take some time, but obviously you want to have your vision fulfilled.
I would say find a community of people who go through the same type of challenges. And even if you are aspiring startup founder, when I was working corporate job, all my friends were having corporate jobs. So even like talking to them that like, oh, hey, I have the startup idea, was almost embarrassing because they would say like, well, you have this great job, you have this great salary, like what else do you want from life, you know? And they all are focused on building corporate careers. And then last year I changed my group of friends and I changed people I spend the most time with to surround myself with more founders. And it had a huge impact on me because then in startup community, when you come in and you say like, hey, I have a corporate job, this is embarrassing because people are like, well, what's your side project? What's your passion project? Are you thinking about startup? And it actually pushes you and it gives you confidence to start to start your own startup.
So, I mean, basically what I'm hearing is it all starts with community and friendships because nobody really does it alone. You hear all the times about people that did it alone, but nobody really does it alone, whether it is just a support system, you know, you have somebody there to sort of, you know, keep going, you know, good job, you know, you got this, you know, don't look back, just keep going forward. So I think that's important sort of feedback that people need to know is that you're never alone and you need to understand that you're never alone so that you can sort of rely on whether it's your group of friends, your circle of friends, and who you end up surrounding yourself with ends up being, you know, sometimes you're either your biggest cheerleaders, and even if they're your biggest critics, they maybe provide, you know, useful information. They're critiquing useful things and providing you insight that maybe you were blind to because you're so close to it. Very close. Let's go back to talk about Scapio for a second. The different, you know, so the different products, because there's the, you know, the actual AR and then the digital sandbox, and then there is the physical sandbox. So your early feedback, so your early user, you know, talking to users, what has been the preferred, you know, do they gravitate more toward the virtual, the digital sandbox or the physical sandbox?
So there is no digital sandbox. You can only escape it with real sand or with real wooden blocks. So with wooden blocks, you place, for example, you can place the word cat and then the Scapio would project the image of the cat.
Okay. So they both coexist. So in other words, you've melded both worlds, the digital and the physical. In the Scapio platform, one cannot coexist without the other.
Yes, it cannot. And I think that's some part that's missing in current technologies, playing with physical objects. With physical objects and being with your friends in the same physical space.
That's excellent. Now, the sensors for the AR, is this proprietary technology that you guys developed, or is this something that you're licensing from a different?
So we're using over-the-counter technology and our core value is software.
And who's doing all the software creation? Are you outsourcing that, or is this basically, you know, you and your...
So this is my co-founder. It's just two of us for now. And my co-founder fully does technology. He was the one who built the software for our first prototype. And I'm doing everything else.
Katia, I want to be mindful of your time and respectful. I'm grateful for the time that you've given me. But anything else that you want to leave people, whether it's a message to other startup founders or, you know, other businesses that are in the AR space that maybe are only thinking AR, aren't thinking of the correlation between AR and the physical.
I think it doesn't matter which startup you're working on. As soon as you are excited about it and you wake up every day and you really want to bring it into the world. Mm-hmm. But also it's very important that people actually need what you're building.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Katia. And I will put all of the notes in the show notes for people to know how to reach you, how to look up more about Scapio and yourself as well. And thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. Great talking to you.
Likewise.